I'm not sure who I sound more like. It depends. If I like do my normal deep voice, oh yeah. Barry Wise, ready for this podcast, baby. We're going to play some smooth jazz. We're going to listen to Dexter Kritchman. And then we're going to boogie on all night at the Big Fat Black Pussycat in New York City. Y'all ready for some small plug for wrestling? Yeah, you are. Y'all ready for some wrestling, some NXT, some 205 Live. That Roderick Strong really does fill my boots. Good? I'm ill, for fuck's sake. Like, how are we going to do this shit? That's got to be the voice, surely. Fuck it, we use that as
the intro. Are you really going to open us with that shit, Mr. Yeah, Barry White? Baby.
Hey. Barry White is a fucking national treasure. Not only that, he's the Boris of love, baby.
Oh, my God.
Part 2 of Week in the Universe, where we discuss 205 Live and NXT. Because Dexter Kritchman is back once again.
Let's talk about the beatdown. Come on.
Tozawa to the top. Tozawa, nobody home.
Drew Gulak is back with the PowerPoint presentation.
I didn't like this so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Week in the Universe, part 2/part 3. We don't know yet. You'll know when we upload this shit. I am your host, Amir Ozanetti, or Barry White, depending on who you want to call me this evening. And joining me, as ever, is Dexter Kritchman.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez, beast. Are you going through a cold or something?
Oh, yeah, baby. See, what I'm doing is I'm slowly converting myself into a jazz musician from the 1960s in New York. You understand what I'm saying, baby? See, it's all about the brass music. First of all, we're going to start with a little bit of Purple Brand 205 Live. We're going to talk ourselves a little bit of Cruiserweight Championship Tournament action. And then when we're done there, we're going to move on to NXT, baby. Oh, yeah. NXT, where the next generation of wrestlers come through. Little bit of Amos, little bit of Kairi Sane, maybe a little bit of sweet, sweet Street Profits. You understand what I'm saying, boy?
There's nothing sweet about the Street Profits, but let's get on with it.
Yes, let's get on with it, starting with 205 Live. Insert 205 Live music. Splazzy, splazzy. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Now.
You need to leave that in.
Yeah, you know what? It's actually easier for me to talk in a Barry White voice. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I do have a raging chest infection amongst all the other issues that I've had to deal with this week. So, I may jump in and out of Barry White voice or the 1960s jazz musician voice, however you want to call it. Maybe a little bit of Miles Davis, baby. Oh, yeah.
Lesson number 2. There's more than one way to win a match. You understand me?
I'm not playing a gentleman. I am a gentleman.
I have laid waste to Pretender. Hasta Pretender.
So, thanks to Kritchman. We have a Cruiserweight Championship tournament that is in full swing. And this week we had our first two card finals. Oh, yeah. So we kick off the show with Cedric Alexander versus TJP. Your thoughts?
Oh, Cedric Alexander versus TJP. What a way to start my week of wrestling.
I know, right? Your boyfriend.
even though TJP lost, that was actually a really good match. It was a really good show of what these two wrestlers can just straight up do. They told a decent story. Cedric Alexander kept TJP for the most part away from his knees just so that TJP wouldn't just exploit his knees until the way end of the match. And it was just a sequential pinfalls. Lots of two counts, lots of almost three counts. And it was just a very fun overall match and a good showcase of what they could do. Of course, I'm sad that TJP isn't moving on, but I love this match.
You must have known. As soon as they put Cedric Alexander in front of him, game over. Cedric Alexander's going all the way. Where he's at least getting to the final. I have, as prediction, Cedric Alexander versus Gulak at WrestleMania.
I could see that. I certainly could.
Good match. Very good match. Very good wrestling match. 205 Live. Never criticize it for wrestling. Problem with storylines. I'm really enjoying this tournament. Good quality matches every week. Exciting, fresh content. There are new people coming into 205 Live, which helps. It looks like we're going to have at least a couple of recurring characters in Buddy Murphy and Roderick Strong, which is good news for us. A bit more use of the UK guys as well would always be helpful. But overall, really enjoy this match. My only critique, however, 205 Live. 205 Live is about high-flying, high-intensity, high-speed affairs, right? What separates this brand from everyone else is the quality of wrestling and the pace of the wrestling. Basically, you want to present this like NXT in a way, your indie-style wrestling show. This is an hour of ludicrous high-paced action, you know, like Corey Graves always used to call it, the most exciting hour of TV on the WWE Network. So, to that end, rest holds. Why is TJP doing rest holds? TJP is a ludicrously fast, technically gifted, very highly technical, submission-based wrestler as well as being a high flyer. Cedric Alexander, incredible athlete. Crowd don't want 1 minute, 2 minute rest holds. You know, insert chokehold here, slow down the pace in the match. I know Jim Kill on that is sitting there going, let the whole match breathe, let it breathe, or whatever, you know, whatever dumb shit voice he ever has. You know, people talk about letting the product breathe. You need to tell a story, which they do. But the crowd is very, very much so, in my opinion. I feel like the modern day wrestling fan is accustomed to a higher paced, more athletic affair. That's why you can watch stuff like Aleister Black versus Adam Cole, for instance. Or you can watch something crazy high paced like a Neville versus a Rich Swann. These kind of matches are more par for the course now. So when you put TJP and Cedric Alexander down there, slowing the match down, slowing the pace down, it's fine for a little bit, but if you do too much of it, you lose the interest of your audience very quickly, and I think that's why audience participation is also struggling on 205 Live.
Because we're expecting, you know, middle to heavyweight matches, see,
if I can just speak as Miles Elsinator for a minute, let me just tell you something about wrestling. See, 205 Live is all about the pace, especially my brother Cedric Alexander. See, that's one very cool colored man. That's a cool black man right there. You see, what you need to understand is when TJP and Cedric Alexander get it on, it's like a dance, baby. And when they dance, they gotta dance fast and smooth, baby. Ain't no time for rest holes, baby. You ain't got time to botch. No, no, no. Get all that speed going. Get a crowd involved even a little bit more. See, it's a smooth tango, but it's a tango amongst men. And these men, they need to get their jazz on. You feel me, Dex Critchman?
I feel you. Oh, my God. I can't believe we're doing this.
Yeah, we are. That's right. Now, if I was not mistaken, there was another match on this card. Was there not, Dexter Bridgman? A little bit of
Roderick
Strong,
baby. There absolutely
was. See, I mentioned Roderick Strong earlier. That's a mighty strong man, Roderick Strong, master of the backbreaker. And he took on that tinfoil-wearing lunatic Kalisto. What did you think of that?
Actually, I thought this was a better match. I actually did.
Absolutely.
They kept up the pace up a lot better.
Luchadors.
And it,
bloody botching lunatics. Even in this match, a couple of sly botches. Roderick Strong, though, is a fantastic addition to 205 Live, is he not?
Oh, he's an amazing addition to this roster. I hope we're keeping him. I hope we're keeping him here.
From Dexter Christian's place of residence. Amazing stuff.
He's really, really good. I was kind of sad I didn't realize that he was around here until, you know, way too late. But Jesus Christ, he's amazingly good at what he does.
Yes,
he can sell the botches, too.
He's moving on. Cedric Alexander versus Roderick Strong in the semifinals. That's going to be a barn burner. The masters of the backbreakers. The lumbar check versus whatever he calls it, that crazy suplex into a backbreaker. I mean, those are two insane finishes, probably the most impactful and exciting to watch finishes in wrestling. Going up against each other, I'm very excited about that match. And the match with Kalisto, to be fair, just very smooth. A couple of botches. My critique of Mexican wrestlers in WWE seem to be very botchy. I know it's kind of the Sin Cara joke, botch Cara and all that. And, you know, there's definitely something to that. I think the problem is when you wrestle a pace that's crazy and that fast, you are going to make mistakes and you kind of take the good with the bad. But if the mistakes are high profile, like they were in his match with Lince Dorado, where they completely botched the reverse hurricane runner near the end, it can really knock you out of your sense of disbelief and your enjoyment. Because all of a sudden you're like, you know, you're watching this beautiful, smooth choreography and then bang, all of a sudden something goes wrong. Now, I appreciate it's not their fault all the time. You know, there are numerous things that can always go wrong in wrestling, even if you're doing something simple, never mind something crazy like this. But, you know, like I said about the first match, Dexter Critchman, it's all about a dance. See, you need to dance in that ring. You need to be smooth. You need to be clinical. You need to be supreme. These luchadors, they need to slow it down just a little tad. You understand what I'm saying?
Too fast? Too furious? Too much speed? Too much swing?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But yeah, once again, 205 Live. With this Cruiserweight tournament, I like this new kind of equilibrium to the show. You get maybe a little tidbit of information in the middle, but two solid top quality, top draw candidates for match of the week every single week. And that's all you got. You know, they're not saturating you with content, trying to ram in stupid storylines that don't make any sense. Here's some top quality wrestling. It's the road to WrestleMania. Two of these men are going to get a chance to wrestle on the big stage. Who's going to make it? I think it's simple, but it's effective.
Right. And even when we get away from this Cruiserweight tournament, that's all we need to do. We need to have like two high quality matches, maybe do some storylines, but do it like every other week. Don't try and oversaturate us with cramming a lot of stuff in. If we don't get to the storyline this week, get to it next week. Alternate it. I like this two match format because it allows them to stretch their legs and actually give us a decent quality match. We need to keep this format.
Yeah, the format is spot on. I really wish they would record it before SmackDown because I think the crowd would be really lively because they're giving them great matches and the crowd still aren't responding as well as they should. You know, people turn their nose up at 205 Live. You go on social media and people are like, oh, I'm not wasting my time watching that shit. The reality is that they're putting on the best wrestling. They are. This is the best wrestling show of all four. The problem is there's no emotional connection. And, you know, unfortunately, they had such a... I think they built a really good reputation for the people who bother to watch, and then they ruined a lot of that with the Enzo Amore, you know, experiment. And since then, they're trying to rebound. And Drake Maverick or Rockstar Spud, whoever you want to call it, as a GM, that works well. I like that character. I like the stability he brings. I like the spine, the storytelling he brings. But they've got a long way to go to bring it back. And I think they realize that the pinnacle of Cruiserweights for WWE in modern era was that Cruiserweight Classic, which TJP won. And ever since then, they've been battling to try and capture it. And the biggest problem with that was it was in Full Sail. Small crowd, you know, they knew their limits. They've tried to be too big. They've gone big, they've gone bold, and ultimately it feels like they failed. But this 205 Live, right, this is probably, what, 3 or 4 weeks now where they haven't really had a shit show. Every week for the last 3 or 4 weeks, top quality wrestling, good show, nice and succinct, only an hour long, easy to digest, a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it.
Right, and consistently 3.5-4 stars. Knocking them right out of the park.
Do not hinder the rating system.
Regardless, they've been doing very well with what they've got on hand, and they need to keep it up. Eventually, they'll win people back.
Yes, they will. Eventually, with enough top-quality wrestling, people will take a look. Because NXT was the same. When this first came out, a small amount of people watching NXT, when it first came out on the network and before you knew it, it just blew up. It really did. People like an alternative product. They just need to know that it's worth investing their time in it. Once they know that, then you'll have people on board. And with Neville possibly coming back within the next couple of months, that should bolster it nicely.
He's actually signed?
Well, he's not unsigned anyway. Neville was signed to WWE. It's a contract dispute.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Neville's actually signed to WWE. He's only in a contract dispute, but he actually is still WWE property. People are like acting like he's left the company. No, he hasn't. He's actually still under WWE's moniker. It's just that he wants his contract to go a certain way. And they're like, well, no, we're giving you this. And he's like, right, well, give me this or conflict. And that's basically why he's kind of in a freeze frame at the moment and in a holdout. Are you ready for Yellow Brand?
I am ready for Yellow Brand. I'm ready. Good. Ooh, Yellow Brand tore it down too.
Dying on his ass.
You are not NXT. We are NXT. We tried to do it your way. And what did I get? Nothing.
Oh my God. Is Adam Cole? Is Adam Cole?
What the hell?
Adam Cole, baby.
NXT this week. Show opens with Tyler Bay versus Velveteen Dream. How big is your erection?
Michaela's got a problem after this podcast. Anyway.
Jesus Christ. Well, aside from destroying your missus with your own Velveteen Dream, what did you think?
No botches.
Get to it, because
really
my voice is dying, so I need you to fucking cover me here.
Okay, fair enough. Really good match. British strong style as usual.
He lost again, though.
He did lose
again. People losing their interest in Tyler Bate?
I think that might be the case. Considering that they've been on a downward spiral.
Because he was on 205 Live recently as well, wasn't he? And people didn't react as well to him. And on this show, he had some fans, but not nearly what he got when he originally started. I think Pete Dunne has eclipsed him.
Right. And that's, I see that as well. Honestly, what they could be doing with him is, well, he's over here, maybe painting him kind of like the Johnny Gargano angle, you know, the lovable loser, and just giving him loss after loss in really close, really tight matches, and eventually just having him explode back up, maybe even going for like the NXT title versus like, say, the UK title. But regardless, a high-quality match between the two of them. Velveteen Dream coming out on top, showing that he's very, very good at the mind games and the... I just love this gimmick. Why do I love this gimmick so much, Beast? God damn it.
I really like the fact that he could hang with Tyler Bates' technical wrestling at the beginning as well. He had his own counters. He can actually wrestle. He's not just a gimmick with a few impact moves. He can actually grapple. He can lock up with Tyler Bates, and Tyler Bates is one of the best in the world at that. You know, even at his young age. And if you don't mind me saying for a moment, if I can just step back into character for a moment. See, I know all about Velveteen Dreams. I've been giving out Velveteen Dreams all my life. And this one here, this one's the best Velveteen Dream I ever did see. And this boy, he's got a lot of potential, a lot of character, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this year, we see the Dream holding all the gold, baby.
You see him being an NXT champ, huh?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Black is beautiful, Dexter Christian. You should know that by now.
So then what you're expecting
to see is... You
can't crack
the black.
Because
once you go black, you never go back.
Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black 2.
Once you've had Velveteen Dream, you can't help but cream.
I'd be really game for the two of them fighting over the title.
Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black for the title. Black versus Black. Oh, yeah. See, when I think about wrestling, all I can think about is black on black. That's the way it should have been. A little bit of ebony. A little bit more, Ebony. Oh, yeah.
My God, Beast. Then we
Ebony
have the Street Profits.
And Ivory go together. Let's talk about Street Profits. It is dying very, very, very slowly. It is dying a horrible, horrible death, like Mojo Rawley's career. Ba-dum-bum.
But anyway... So, Street Profits, fuck them. Sweep, 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 done. Anyway, so we get the full announcement of the roster for the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
The bracket.
Holy crap, the first round, there's two barn burners at the opposite ends of this bracket. We've got TM61 versus Authors of Pain.
Let's get that one out of the way for a minute, can we? Tell it.
And tell them. You do it. Do it. Do it. You do it. It's so your we get end of the woods.
British
do
Strong
it.
Style, baby. British Strong Style. Tyler Bate and Trent Seven versus Oney Lorcan and Britain's own Mind Stone. Excuse me. Oh, God. And we all.
That's the money shot.
Dream. Talk about Velveteen Dream. Talk about my Velveteen Dream right now. Oh, baby. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan got a chance to be tag team champions. Oh, my Lord. I'm getting excited.
Now, the rest of the matches are shit shows, and honestly, I'm probably going to pass on them.
Sanity versus Tito, whatever it is.
The Italian jackasses. Anyway.
Them. That's a waste of Sanity, so you'd expect Sanity to run them over. Sanity versus Lorcan and Birch. Can't fucking have someone actually. Sorry.
Anything
that involves Danny Birch is creamy goodness.
And then there's the throwaway match of Street Profits versus Heavy Machinery.
Thank you for that.
That's my expression for that because I vomited a little bit there. Anyway.
Yeah, fuck that segment. Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. Oh,
I'm kind of disappointed in this match. It was good, but
I love Shayna Baszler. Oh, Shayna Baszler's so good. So dark, so evil. Great character. I don't care for Kairi Sane that much.
I wasn't even upset that Kairi Sane lost. It just, the match seemed a little off.
What did you ask me about Kairi Sane?
Did you enjoy Kairi? Do you like Kairi Sane? The moveset. That's right. Her moveset's a little bit off.
You asked me what I thought of her as a wrestler. And I find her not only to be talented, but also quite unsettling. She's very clunky in the ring. And she's one of these wrestlers. I don't know why, but she seems quite frantic and quite unsettled herself. She doesn't look fully confident in there for some reason. I know, my opinion is not worth a damn compared to her experience, but I don't know why, but something about watching her doesn't sit well with me. She's a good wrestler. I enjoy her matches to a certain extent, but I can't really fulfill the emotional investment in her matches. I feel like they just lack a bit of smoothness. I think everything needs to be smoothed over a little bit. Feels very rough, very jagged, and kind of knocks you out of the loop a little bit.
Maybe some time with someone who's got a similar moveset and just a little bit of training. Actually, yeah. Who has a similar moveset to her? She's got
that's the problem.
Really
very unique. She does have a beautiful elbow drop, I will say that much. Shayna Baszler is looking like the real deal. Unfortunately, the women's division on NXT, especially after they had that call-up with Absolution and the Riot Squad, they're a little thin on the ground at the moment. And watching the last takeover, Shayna Baszler feels like the only true contender to Ember Moon, for my money, other than Iconic, who seem to have disappeared. Where are Iconic?
No idea where Iconic have taken off.
Haven't been
on
for a
while.
And also Nikki Cross.
I know who Kairi Sane needs to go talk to. Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan has a similar moveset.
Yeah, she does have a Daniel Bryan-esque sort of approach to her wrestling. Kind of haphazard, kind of dangerous, but ultimately very popular. I'm not really feeling the gimmick either. Pirate Princess? That's all very well and good as a cosplay, but what does it really mean as a wrestler? Like, if you come out as that, what am I supposed to believe you are? Are you basically a bit fruity and like cosplaying? Is that all I'm getting from your character? I'm not getting anything from her character at all other than I like to dress as a pirate princess. That's great, but you're not living the character. It's not like you're cutting promos like one.
Well, her English is a bit sloppy, so her trying to cut promos like that might be a little...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's fine, but the character needs more than just look at my beautiful coat and hat. There's got to be more to it than just that. The entrance looks grand. I'm sure it'd look amazing if she came out on a pirate ship or something, you know. They could wheel her in on one of these elaborate sets or somewhere like Mania, and it would look fantastic. But it hasn't got enough depth. Hasn't got enough depth for my liking. It's a shame, because she's a very beautiful woman. She's got a great look, great smile. She's very likable. She's lovable. You follow her on Twitter. She's great fun. Really cool girl.
Maybe a new gimmick?
Gimmick. Or depth. You know, it's one thing. Look at Shayna Baszler, for instance. It's not so much a gimmick as it is her just being brutally honest and decimating people. You know, Shayna Baszler is an MMA fighter. Her job is to hurt people. And like she said at the end of this match, give me Ember Moon. Either I'm going to take her title or I'm going to take a limb. Now, there's a line you can stick on a marquee.
Yeah.
Anything to add, mate?
Shayna Baszler, I'm not a big fan of the MMA fighters. I've never been. Shayna Baszler might be the first one I might actually take an interest in, just because she fits the role a lot better than the other ones.
I love her. I think she's brilliant. I think right now she's the most compelling person in NXT.
I wouldn't argue with that, because she not only is a great wrestler in terms of technique, skill, and everything else. She makes it look real, and she doesn't require a mouthpiece. She can talk on her own, unlike the rest of the MMA experiments.
I really like her on the mic.
She can talk. Although it's blunt to the point, and you know, it's not very elaborate, you can get a sense of depth, a sense of feeling behind it. She's very good at it, and it's better than any of the other MMA fighters. Lesnar, whatever the fuck her name is. Not Ronda Rousey, the other one.
Sonya Deville.
That one.
Sonya Deville, though, did impress at Elimination Chamber. give that a watch. She was good at that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So it looks like we're heading towards Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler again. I don't have a problem with it. For anyone who didn't see it, it was one of the best stories told by a women's match in some time. It was an incredible watch. Her and Ember Moon have a beautiful chemistry. They really do. It was magical storytelling. It really was. So to wrap up NXT, Baszler, we had two men fighting with the ideal proposition of taking on Almas for the title. So Andrade Cien Almas comes out with Zelina Vega. Wow. And
cuts the weakest promo ever.
Well, he's not good at English, and you know what? I'm not going to be one of these cunts who goes, what? I can't understand it. Fucking foreign. Like, shut up. You get up there and speak in Mexican, then you cunt. Simple as that. Okay.
Spanish, anyone who's ripping
on people. Excuse me, Spanish, yeah, as I'm going on my anti-racism tirade. You're speaking Mexican, you creepy Mexican. I can't even do Vince McMahon in his voice. See, what you need to understand is...
Wow.
What you need to understand is man, isn't Eddie? He only speaks one language, and that's the language of love, baby. Language of love. So, Almas, promo, not great. Selena Vega, great on the stick. She needs to talk all the time for him.
Needs to be Brock Lesnar
and bragging.
Yeah.
Out comes Aleister Black. And then here comes the Irish train wreck, Killian Dane, who screams at him, "You're in my path." Oh my God, the collision. These two boys are going to get it on. And the winner of that, which probably will be Black, I want a triple threat personally at the NXT TakeOver before WrestleMania, but I think they're going to have the winner of Black versus Dane taking on Almas. I think we're getting Aleister Black winning the title the night before Mania.
I would absolutely love that. Or maybe...
I want a triple threat. Dane is ready for a main event, in my money.
Or maybe they say screw it and just say, we're kidnapping the NXT main event for Mania.
Yeah, do you know what? If I get a distinct impression I'm not going to give a shit about Mania after watching TakeOver the night before. It's going to be spectacular. Yeah, I really can't wait.
So we've got the Dusty Rhodes Classic winner faces the Shock,
the System.
Oh, Cole and the Gang. Cough. Anyway, actually, that porn music's growing on me.
Well, yeah, do you know what? It's starting to grow on me as well, quite shamefully. I've spent weeks ripping on it, and now I listen to it when I go in the gym. And as I mentioned on a previous episode, if you walk past the little honeys, you go, what's up, baby?
You can't help but strut.
You can't help but give it the old fucking sway, the old Conor McGregor walking past going, what's up? And then if you link up that music with the Miles Davis, baby, put it in with his boss, you are guaranteed to get yourself some sugar on that evening. Oh, yeah. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you need to enjoy this voice, because once my voice clears up, I won't be able to do it again. And no, I am not going to purposely give myself a chest infection every week so that you can enjoy Miles Elzinetti. Miles Elzinetti is now a recurring character for 1 week only.
1 week only!
Unless we record episode 3 of Let's Talk Some Shit right after this, in which case you might get a bit more Miles Davis, but I don't think my throat can handle that. Also got Adam Cole beating the shit out of Cesar Bononi. Bit of a toss, bit of a throwaway.
That was sad.
Pointless. Pointless. It didn't really, really help Cesar Bononi out, and it didn't really help the Undisputed Era out, other than to prove that they're a bit obnoxious. Seemed like a poor use of the guys, really. By the way, can I just say, Kyle O'Reilly has got the best shit-eating look on his face I've ever seen. He's got such a good, obnoxious face. He's such a dickhead. He's so good at it. He looks so obnoxiously arrogant. Well done, Kyle O'Reilly. Really proud of you. He's so good. Him and Bobby Fish, Red Dragon, baby. I wear my Red Dragon t-shirt to the gym. Those two. So I wear a Red Dragon t-shirt to the gym. I listen to the Undisputed Era, which has two members of Red Dragon in it. I listen to that when I walk in the gym, and I do the old Adam Cole baby walk as I walk past Honey's. It's all good. It's all good.
You're fucking
try it.
Anyway.
Try it. I am such a mark for the era now. It's terrible. I really am. When Adam Cole came out in the Rumble, I jizzed my pants, mate. I am such a mark. Somebody get me my Shot the System t-shirt right now. So
I really wish they would change the name. The name is about Shock. The only thing that's horrible.
System. Could just call themselves STS. Just,
that would work. Or CFO.
Yeah, you can't have CFO, though, because it's too close to the guy who does the NXT music, CFO dollar sign.
Oh, well, fuck. Okay, never mind. Then...
What did you think of NXT, mate? Better than 205 Live? What was your favorite show of the week?
Honestly, I'd put them on a par. So
interesting.
The storytelling was better on the NXT side because, you know,
always
is a story.
Always is.
But the wrestling was better on the 205 side.
Yeah, 205 Live had to... You know, it dedicated 15 minutes to each match, and that's always going to help you out. So you're always guaranteed to get a really good story out of it. Sane versus Baszler was a decent match, but nothing spectacular. And I felt that Kairi Sane is a bit, just a bit half and half. And it sure as hell wasn't a patch on their Mae Young Classic final. Really wasn't.
No.
And the rest of the wrestling content was a bit subpar. You know, to say Cesar Bononi beat down was kind of worthless. The best match really was Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Bate. That was a lot of fun. But, you know, it's a throwaway opener, so it doesn't really have the emotional investment there.
And it wasn't long enough, even for an opener.
I would have liked to have seen
better.
A good 15, 20-minute match between those two. Velveteen Dream versus, you know, Tyler Bate on 205 Live when they've got the platform would be fantastic.
That would have been amazing, but
it
would.
Anyway,
like Belting
Dream's never cut into 205 Live, not with that fucking body. Jesus Christ, what a shredded individual he is. Mind you, Buddy Murphy looking jacked last week on 205 Live. Holy shit, that man is swollen. I'm very impressed with Buddy Murphy's physique. Now I understand why Alexa Bliss wants to marry him.
Wait, Alexa Bliss wants to? Oh my,
she's engaged to Buddy Murphy.
Oh my.
Oh my. Oh, yeah. They're going to be making sweet, sweet Alexa Blisses.
It's going to be a blissful night.
Hey, shit. I actually hate you. You're fired. Get the hell off my podcast, Dr. Crutchman. You piece of shit.
Can't even do the voice.
Shut up.
And I think right. With that, I think we're done here.
Yeah, we're fucking done here. Anything else to say to the listeners, or are you going to say goodbye?
No. Oh, wait, there is one thing. Friday the 9th, I probably will have a podcast recorded before this, but Friday the 9th, I'm actually heading to a house show over at the Target Center in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, you're
going to
a Raw house show. This numbnuts thinks that he's actually getting a main event at Brock Lesnar versus The Miz. Ah.
That's what's billed.
Not happening. Not happening. I understand it's in Minnesota. Not happening. Brock Lesnar ain't fucking wrestling for cheap shit house shows. Not a chance.
You're more
likely to get the Undertaker John Cena match, mate.
I mean, that would be fun. Regardless.
Yeah, you keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. Your main event's going to be Heath Slater versus Rhino in a grudge match.
Ouch. That would suck. Anyway, regardless.
He's got kids.
Are we sure he's got
kids? Get
on
with it.
Anyway, I'm going to throw it on Periscope when I'm there, just so people get an idea of what's going on. If there's anything interesting, anything fun, pay attention to the Periscope at LDR Jagman. Yeah, you get the idea. Beast, you got anything?
No, I do not, unfortunately. There will be some episodes of Let's Talk Some Shit finally dropping, which is our new podcast where we literally just talk shit for an hour and a half to 2 hours. Myself and Dexter Critchman are on the first two episodes. Make sure you check those out. They'll be on the Smart Plug podcast feed. So you don't have to sign up to another podcast. It's all available via the Smart Plug. Check it out, guys. It'll have a funky little logo, so you'll know, obviously, to separate it from the other ones. It won't be wrestling-based, though. It'll just be general chit-chat. So if you want something a little bit different, a little break from the wrestling norm, we're going to be giving you LTSS. Let's Talk Some Shit, the new podcast from myself and Dexter Critchman.
All right, let's take it away.
All right. Stay good on. Right. Well, thank you very much for listening to us, guys. As always, you can check out all our podcasts via our social media links. We are available on iTunes. We're available on TuneIn. We're trying to get ourselves available on Spotify. That seems to be a bit difficult, though. But all the other major players, you can get our podcasts via just whatever you're using, whatever app, whatever website. Type in Smart Plug. We'll be there. Subscribe. Let everybody know the score. And if you can, please share our links. You know, let your friends know. Helps us out a lot. And of course, you can still buy a t-shirt. You can now buy a t-shirt in the UK, Europe, or America. That's right, North America and Canada. You can now get yourself a t-shirt. Go to smartplug.bigcartel.com. It might ask you to purchase it in English money, but you will still be able to order one, and we can still send one to you because we now have the American manufacturer down. So if you want some Smart Plug merchandise, a t-shirt or a hoodie, please let us know. We can get that out to you. Be roughly about $30 for the t-shirt, $50 to $60 for the hoodie, guys. Just letting you know up front, obviously, the t-shirt, it'll cost a little less to print, but we need to make a little bit of money on it because myself and Dexter are going to be putting that money back into the podcast, bringing you a new series of Manic Mondays. There's going to be extra content coming through. So that money, obviously, is going to be used to help out, you know, podcasts. And if we're very, very lucky, we might be able to buy a single pint of it. You never know. So buy us a pint, buy us a t-shirt. And most of all, help out the podcast because we do all of this, as always, for free normally. So obviously those t-shirts, you know, it's not like you're not getting nothing. You're getting a sweet t-shirt or hoodie for free, and they are guaranteed to last a lifetime as long as the print lasts. So with that, Dexter Critchman, say goodbye to the listeners.
Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. See you in the next podcast.
He's been Dave Squishman, I've been Amira Zanetti, and we'll catch you very soon for another Smart Plug Galaxy podcast in the near future.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.